Everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dee, and you are tuned in to the Lady Code. What are we doing in Lady Code?
I like to talk shit.
And I like to speak truth about basically everything. So grab a drink.
Or whatever it is you do when you're chilling.
And let's get to it. What up?
Hey, everybody.
We're back.
Sorry we missed y'all last week.
Yeah, we really wanted to get on, but we just, you know, things happen.
Life comes at you fast.
Right, right.
So I hope y'all enjoyed the wonderful tunes.
The extended vibe out.
The extended vibe out.
I don't know. I love FKJ.
Yeah.
And that whole piece that we played last week, it was about a 16-minute long video that just flowed like one long ass beautiful song.
Yeah.
It was great. Hope you liked it.
I enjoyed it.
So anyway, you know, we're just gonna check in real quick and see what's going on, see what's new. We're ready to talk some shit and speak some truth with you today.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we just want to kind of get in and see what's going on in Chris's life.
Yeah. Well, I'm just getting ready to head out, literally today for travel for Thanksgiving. We're heading up to the great state of Ohio. Where there's so much to do.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
Not at all. No. But you're missing a lot of cold and a lot of open space. But
that's what both us from, ain't it?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, a lot of people. You got Bow Wow. You got.
It's 1999, my nigga.
Bone Thug. You got Halle Berry. You got, I think. Now I ain't gonna say Bernie Mac because I'm not sure about that.
And
anyway,
that's where it ends.
There's people. Anyway, I am packing. I need to go home and pack, finish packing, and then we're gonna try to get out ahead of these 10 hours so we can get ahead of traffic. But I'm looking forward to spending time with family.
I know you're not packed.
Wait a minute.
I know you're not.
I'm not, but listen,
I knew it.
And it's causing me anxiety.
You're the most procrastinating somebody I know.
But no, I'm not. Normally.
You is.
I try not to be, but I do like to pack ahead, and I didn't get the chance to do that like I normally do, but it's okay, because we're going to make it out. We're going to get out of here today before 2 o'clock.
Look, when I go out of town, I be packing. My stuff be packed like days before. It be stuff I don't even need. I just sit back and look at my bag like, oh, I got everything.
Me too, normally, but, nice, all right, organized. I'll say I got the baby stuff packed. Like, she is good to go, but my stuff is laid out. It's just not in a bag, and stuff like that causes me anxiety. Anyway, what's up with you?
I mean, I'm just getting ready for Thanksgiving. I'm just looking forward to spending time with my family.
Right.
What I'm not looking forward to is getting played when I get there, because I stop eating meat. And so, ooh. I remember last Thanksgiving, this was like right after I saw With the Health and fell into my rabbit hole of like exploring the whole meatless life and possibly being a vegan. Mm. So when I got to Thanksgiving, I was like giving all the food the side eye like, ugh, I ain't eating that. I ain't eating that macaroni and cheese and being constipated.
You like
having
when
all
people,
this cheese in my like, in my arteries and all that.
When people first get saved and then they be looking at everybody sideways, that was you.
I was doing that. So they was like, you better eat that damn ham. Mm. And I was like, I mean, it looks delicious. Honestly.
And you
it really does.
I know that was a struggle.
So that's my struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, y'all. I don't know who is listening and who is underneath my voice right now.
Preach.
But you remember the episode Chitlitarians for the Win. And we were talking about, I knew this day was gonna come.
You knew it.
We was talking about what am I gonna do come Thanksgiving, and somebody put them chitlins in my face. I think I don't know.
Did the juice count?
Oh, just drinking chitlin juice?
I was trying to help you. I don't
drinking
know.
Drinking chitlin juice.
I don't mess with
them. We should
make
them. A song called Drinking Chitlin Juice.
I don't mess with them. It might already be out there. I don't, yeah.
I don't know. So, catch up with us next week and you'll see if I eat the chitlins or not.
Yeah. She has a slight hint of chitlin on her breath.
Yeah, but I really need to think hard and long about it. But I mean, other than that, I did go to that Woman Uncorked event. It was actually pretty interesting.
Okay.
It was good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot of diversity. I'll say that.
Okay.
So it's me and another friend, and it was just us.
Okay.
And then there's a whole bunch of other people.
Okay.
Right?
All
right. And basically the event turned into all of us kind of like coaching this little white girl on how to take it easy just coming out the gate having sex. Like, so she just lost her virginity, right? Mm-hmm. So let me remind y'all, Women Uncorked was an event that I was talking about on some of these on the last few shows where I went out, and it was basically a lot of women that got together and talked about sex, like in a really broad manner, right? Mm-hmm. But the topic on this one was sex and religion. Sex,
right.
And so the girl was, you know, was talking about religious, our family always kind of looked down on that. And then she was like, F that, I'm about to lose my virginity, and decided to lose her virginity at 23.
But then, I was about to say
12 o'clock.
I was
right.
Like, dang.
Lost it at 12 o'clock, soon she turned 23. But so she lost her virginity at 23. And the girl went to a dude's house for like the first time they had sex with a dildo. And was like, hey, I'm here.
Wow.
Ready to have sex.
Hashtag the most.
So he was like, wait,
what do we need that for?
Why? I got a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, do you like two dicks in you at once? Like, I thought you just lost your virginity. Like,
that's
what is going on, right?
Yeah.
And so she was like, he didn't call me back. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's going on. And we're looking at
was
her
she
like,
trolling y'all? I was legit.
I think she was for real.
Wow.
And she was like, so I shouldn't bring dildos, you know, to a guy's house? And I was like,
no,
please, just bring yourself.
Come as you are.
Come with a clean vagina.
Yeah.
As long as you come with a clean vagina and an open mind, you good.
You are stupid. No accessory necessary.
Oh, Lord. That's crazy. It was this other girl who was saying that she's not a virgin. And we're like, okay, so you've had sex before. She was like, well, I haven't been penetrated. And we're like, you're a virgin. And she's like, no, I'm a penetration virgin, but I'm not a virgin. I was like, okay, whatever.
Okay,
whatever makes you feel. Standards. Whatever makes
where
you sleep
was
at night.
Where was it?
It was at, I can't even remember the venue name. It was at somewhere in D.C.
It was in D.C.
Okay. But yeah, it was interesting to say the least. So the moral of the story, come with a clean vagina and an open mind, okay, and you'll be good to go.
Leave your dildo at home. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That is funny.
Yeah. So let's look at the question of the day, right?
Yes. So the question that I have today is, what are some things that annoy you that may not annoy other people?
Oh, I got the perfect one.
Okay.
So you know how, like, when you're talking to people, and my thing is this, like, when you speak, you should, don't be having food in your mouth and having a whole bunch of stuff in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And even if, you know, some people got like thick spit and stuff, and sounds
and
gross.
And it sit on the tip
right
of it.
There.
Oh my God.
And so, like, when they talk and they be like, I have a friend that does this, and it's so annoying. Like, when we like going back and forth, like on video chat or whatever,
uh-huh.
I'll just like watch her talk, and I can just watch her mouth. So she'll be like, so let's say she's saying her day. So she'll be like, yeah, so I went to the store, and then I did this and the other day, and then
that is
That shit, that annoys me. And it's something about just hearing your mouth smack like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does that annoy
that
you?
That does bother
me. That annoys you?
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't annoy some people, but for me, it's the smallest.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that people are aware that they do that, though, but it's very annoying. Just like smacking. Like, when you're chewing food.
Yeah.
And all that, that's very annoying.
This girl, so basically, on a larger scale, I'm annoyed as crap by smacking.
Yeah.
This girl in my job, she be effing up some food in the morning. And she be like, I feel like she be like,
yeah, that's how I pretend.
Like, you hear her make noises and stuff.
I pretend eat food with my daughter. We be like,
Yeah. But
she really eats like that.
That thing is ridiculous. Yeah.
I was going to say, the thing that annoys me is, I ain't trying to limit this to black people, but it seemed like a lot of black people do it.
Some white people do stuff that, okay, just say it.
I know, but I'm just saying, that was for you. when you order food at any establishment, I ain't gonna say any establishment, when you order food at low end to mid level establishments and you gotta send stuff back, or you super specific about your order. Like today, I was getting some food,
mm-hmm.
and this lady ordered an omelet in IHOP. Now, we all know IHOP is nobody's five-star restaurant. And she gonna say...
What you mean? That's my turn-up.
She gonna say, wait. When he cooked my omelet, I only want one slice of American cheese.
Just the one.
How do you know... How you know that? How you know how many slices are gonna be in it? You don't know. And what is the point of designating only one piece of cheese? Like, why you gotta do that? Just order your food and eat it.
See, so like me, that doesn't necessarily annoy me. And my thing
so you
is,
the person I can't eat with.
we can eat together all the time. What I'm saying is, my thing is, I don't necessarily see that as annoying as long as it don't hold the line up. Mm. Like, if you like, hey, brother, just go ahead and put one slice of cheese in my omelet real quick.
That's different. The point
but if
that?
You get out of line and then you want to pop back in line, I'd be like, excuse me, brother. Hold on real quick, brother. Hey, bro.
But what
Hey, look, just put one cheese in that omelet, all right, bro? Like, that's too much.
What if, okay, you at McDonald's and you order your fish fillet or whatever.
McDonald's is different because that stuff is just, it's just factory line.
Same thing at IHOP.
But why can't it be like Burger King? You can
have
it your way.
What I'm saying is, what is the point in one piece of cheese and two pieces of cheese?
Calories.
You can't tell.
Calories.
But you already getting cheese, so.
Calories.
You already getting cheese.
Calories.
You're already getting the cheese. It don't matter.
True.
You see what I'm saying? You're just being an ass. Stop doing that. Or when you order your food at TGI Fridays or some mid-tier restaurant, you be like, my cheese ain't melted all the way, or my $4 ribs are a little tough.
True.
Dog, your whole entire plate costs $11.
Right.
You can't complain about that. Like, what are you talking about? My fries are cold.
You're right.
My fries are cold?
Nah.
They cost a dollar.
Nah.
No.
Nah. Nah.
No.
Nah.
Mm-mm.
Listen.
No.
First of all, I don't even remember the last time I ordered fries from a fast food restaurant.
Mm-mm.
But if you give me some fries and they cold,
Don't be that person.
My mouth's stuck right now because I can't even speak because I can't even believe she gonna let them get away with giving you cold fries. It's the damn principle. It don't matter if your fries cost a dollar, they cost $5 or $10. If your fries is cold, you pay for hot fries. Give me some damn hot fries.
You didn't pay for hot fries. You paid for fries.
I paid for fries that are edible. I can't eat cold fries.
They're edible. It's your preference to have scalding hot fries.
Shoot.
Your meal
can't
costs
cold fries.
Your meal costs $3. Anyway, please stop doing that, people. Do better. You're out here making my hair turn gray. I can't stand to hear it. I can't stand to see it.
Oh, Lord. You know what I can't stand?
What?
The topic at hand. This is what I can't stand, y'all. So we're gonna talk about this.
Dazed and confused.
So I can't stand when people, period, have a lost just self-identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black people specifically, if we're talking, I mean, being personal.
Yeah.
Black people specifically. So we found out some time ago.
Everybody's seen it at this point, right?
But we want to talk about it. Because when I saw this, I was like, wait, what? So apparently, this little girl went on to the Dr. Phil show and was like, I'm white. I'm white and I don't identify with black because black people are gorillas. Black people are dirty. They are thugs. They are hoes.
And she's a very black appearing.
She's black.
Yeah. No, I'm saying just for like congruency. Like she's not light skinned. She's not mixed. Or
she has thick hair.
She's a
you
black
know, if
man.
Someone of another race saw her, they would assume
that she's black.
All the way black
yeah,
in
exactly,
a sense.
Right.
You know,
just for clarity.
That black that is like, okay, you too black.
Right.
Kind of like that.
I'm
right?
black, yo. I'm
right.
Black. Right.
So come to find out. The motherfucker was lying the whole time.
Of course.
It wasn't even a real story.
Can I say, when I first saw it, my immediate reaction was not that this is for real. When I saw it, I was just like, this has to be fake. Just because, and I'm not saying that people can't feel like that, but I just, like, when I saw it immediately, and I saw it on Facebook first. I didn't see it, like, when it aired.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw it, I was like, this is
gotta
a joke.
Be a joke.
Yeah.
Well, see, that kind of takes us back to the last show when we were talking about information diets.
Yeah.
As far as, like, not believing everything that you see.
Right.
Because, see, for me, when I saw it, I took it so personal.
You immediately.
I immediately was like, this disgraced.
You took it at face value.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was like, what in the F is wrong with this little black girl?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
I mean, and apparently I should have, I mean, thought it was legit.
Right.
But it was just, I couldn't understand it. So I was just like, okay, well, this has to be fake. Like, that was just... I mean, that's probably not a good thing about me, but I was just like, well, this is too crazy. It can't be real.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just crazy. But the story behind it was the mother was married to a white man who was not this girl's father. And then the white man died. And the mother apparently never told this black girl that white man was not her father, right, even though she was 100% black. So this girl supposedly decided to believe that she also was a white girl because she assumed or was reared thinking that her father was this white man. So she started disgracing black people and her identity and whatever. And then it also came out later that the father wasn't like a racist or anything and whatever, but it was just a really strangely concocted story.
Right.
That I guess in the end was a farce just to get on TV.
Just to get on TV.
And to have a trip. So what happened later was the sister.
Right.
Came out. What was that? Maybe like a week or two later.
Right.
Apparently there was an older sister. So when the show aired, it was the mother who came on, mm-hmm, the daughter obviously, and then they were talking to Dr. Phil. Then later they brought out her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Who did not subscribe supposedly to his sister's beliefs, and he was just like, you know, this is embarrassing. Do you know you're black and blah 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 blah. So he was not having it.
Right.
But then after everything was concluded, the show aired and everything, maybe like a week or two after, an older girl, I think she was like 23, 24, came out, and she said that she is the older sister of both of them and the daughter, the oldest daughter of the mother. And she just basically came out and just said, all of this is some trash. They're all playing a role. They just wanted to come to California. Her sister wanted to go viral. And the whole thing was just basically concocted for clickbait.
Right.
And so that video picked up a lot of weight, and she was like, well, you know, I'm exposing. And that to me felt a little weird too, like the way she went about it. She did a Facebook Live where people were writing and asking questions. She was answering it. It just sounded like she was like really over her family. It seemed a little spiteful.
Definitely seemed spiteful. She seemed genuinely upset.
Yeah, she seemed upset, but it was weird how it came out, I think. That's just me, though. But
I mean, she could have also been an opportunist and saw that as an opportunity to
get
a whole bunch
felt.
Of views and things like that. Because she definitely got a bunch of views off of it.
Exactly.
And it was that clickbait, you know what I'm saying? So she probably was like, I'm finna use this to my advantage.
Exactly. So
the bigger thing here is, why that story? You could have did a lot of things, mm-hmm, to get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
People concoct a lot of different things to do things on TV and to get views and to get rich and things like that. Like the dude when we were talking about his cupping season and he had that song. Baby.
Yeah.
Cuffing season's over. He made that song.
Right.
And you know you got a whole bunch of clicks off of that.
Yeah, because it was hilarious.
But so be creative like that. I mean, I ain't even mad at that. Like, first of all, you want Jerry Springer. I can't even expect much from you.
Right. Already. Yeah. I kind of feel the same way about Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil, too. Like, the fact that you, even Iola, fix my damn life. Just the fact that you going on TV and have to concoct these storylines. Like, why that story, though?
So, my theory about that is just the climate of America, right? Mm-hmm. What is the most outrageous thing that you could say right now in the climate that we're living in America right now? Everything is racial. Everything is hyper-racial.
Right.
Everything is hyper-violent. Everything. So to come out and just kind of flip all of that into one obnoxious story.
Yeah.
Of course that was going, you know, blow up.
But if she was already doing too much, and the way that the story was delivered, just the fact that she used the word gorillas.
Yeah.
Black people are gorillas. They're like, everything that she was saying was so cliche.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, okay, just come up with something
else.
Yeah,
it was like she Googled racist terms.
Like, right, exactly. It was like, how can I make this sound as bad as possible? Like, it was ridiculous.
Right.
But the fact is that there are some people, there are a lot of black individuals who identify
who think like that.
Or maybe they don't necessarily think they're white.
But they have
that close identity,
kind
of like Rachel Dolezal, where still me as a black woman, it still don't equate, because you can switch back to being white.
Right.
I can't switch back.
Right. Like, your struggle will never be authentically black.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I'm just saying, for you, your identity, from what people can see, is white, and that is quote-unquote right. Good. So if you don't feel like right. being black no more, then you're good.
But even
if I want to say I'm black and I just don't feel like being white no more, then I'm just back to being a regular
you know,
ass
they tried to say that,
black person that don't
like
to
make
that
a thing. They tried to say transracial.
No, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
I don't care who's listening and who thinks that that is a thing. No, yeah. That's some bullshit. You cannot change your damn race or your ethnicity. If your mommy black, if your daddy black, you're black.
Right.
The hell?
Right.
Racial fluidity. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. I'm sick of this damn.
There's one thing if you're mixed race and you're, I mean, like you literally are two or three or four things
Right. If you're mixed already, it's different, but you still, granted, if you're mixed, then you, like one of my friends, she's mixed. She identifies more so with her black side.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that she doesn't identify with being half white, but right. it's just that she was treated poorly by the white side of her family.
Well, see, that's the thing.
So she gravitated more so towards the black side.
So I had a conversation with a mixed race friend of mine, and mm-hmm. she was saying, basically, yes, I am white and black, but I have to understand, like, even if she feels more white, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. Mm-hmm. If you feel more white, she basically had to come to the realization that, okay, when the world sees me, though,
I'm black.
I look more like a black person. Mm-hmm. So I need to basically learn to identify as like a black person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying that she's not both, but you can feel whatever you feel.
Right.
But that's not going to change.
It doesn't change who you are. Like if you are
outward
right. If you were raised around a whole bunch of one particular culture or race or whatever, that's fine. If you like that race, you like that culture, but that don't make you that thing.
That,
you know,
even
if
Eminem,
it's, you know, a culture,
Justin Bieber.
Cultural assimilation. Mm. If you can assimilate to that culture, but you are not going to be
right.
that a part of that racial group. That's
right.
Just, it's,
yeah.
That transracial shit gets on my nerves. So anyway, this made me think about my niece.
Yeah.
So my niece is she's mixed. She's mm. mixed with Japanese. She's mixed with black.
Mm.
And she's a beautiful 6-year-old.
Mm.
Okay. And so, wait, shit. Is she? She's seven. She's seven.
That's okay. Like, I know. It's hard to keep up with them.
Right. She just had me confused the other day. She's 7 years old.
Okay.
I think. Shit. Either way.
She's in her youth.
Right. Right. She's a cute little baby. So anyway, she's mixed with Japanese and black.
Mm.
Okay. So we driving the other day. I was taking her to a bowling party.
Mm.
And I was telling her, I was like, I was saying, how's everything going at school,
mm.
right? And she was like, good, you know, but some of the kids just be doing too much. That's what she said. She said, they be doing too much.
Mm.
And I said, doing too much, what does that mean?
Hmm.
She said, well, like some of the boys, they be like putting their fingers in their nose and like taking boogers out and trying to put them on people and stuff. But that's what 6-year-old, 7-year-old little boys do. They do stupid stuff like that.
And,
you know what I mean? Like touch their tongue and touch somebody. Stupid
okay.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, they be doing too much, auntie. They just be getting on my nerves. And then I was like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would get on my nerves too.
Mm-hmm.
So then she goes, and he's dark skinned.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I was driving in my mind, it was everything stopped. Like, I almost wanted to pull the car over and turn around, like, and have a serious face to face.
What does that have to do with anything? Yeah.
But I'm driving, so mm-hmm. I got real serious. I turned the music down. I was like, okay, can you explain? And she's getting very good at explaining herself.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I said, can you explain to me why that matters?
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, I don't know. He's just dark skinned, so I mean, I just don't like him.
Oh.
And so I said,
she said, I don't like
I
him.
Said, I don't like. She said, I don't like
wow.
him. I said, do you like white people? And she was like, yeah. Because she goes to school with a lot of white
uh-huh.
kids. She in Waldorf,
uh-huh.
Maryland. I said, do you like white people? She said, yeah. Like it was nothing.
Like, no, not
yeah,
a thought.
Yeah, sure.
No
not
thought.
A thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you like black people?
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, sometimes. And I said, well, what do you mean sometimes?
She's seven.
Well, I was like, what do you mean sometimes? And she said, well, sometimes some black people that I don't really like the dark skinned ones.
But she likes all white people.
but she likes white people, period. Because white people are just quote unquote same complexion, you know, whatever. We come in shades, you know. So the darker, in a sense, you are, the worse you are, in her mind. Sad, right?
Did you see that test that they had? There's a test where they have little kids and they have a white doll in the
Yeah, 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 yeah. She would have felt that miserably. And so
that's crazy.
She just was explaining, and I'm like, but. And so this whole time I'm getting nervous.
Yeah.
Because
that's alarming.
Yeah, but I'm getting nervous in that moment because I wanted her to have a great time at this bowling party.
Right.
And
you my know friend's the group daughter, that she's going
my
to.
My friend's daughter is a dark-skinned, beautiful little chocolate baby, okay?
Oh,
when
no.
I tell you this little girl is so cute and pretty.
I saw her.
You seen her. She's
They're
so
gorgeous.
Pretty. But she got that really dark, rich, pretty skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm driving, and I was like, shit. We gonna get to this event, and she not gonna like her because she's dark-skinned. And I was really mindful of that.
That's crazy.
When we got there, right? Mind you, I told her the girl's name. And I was like, the girl's name is Camille. And she goes, oh, I like that name. That's a pretty name. And I was like, okay, there's hope. Okay. There's hope. Now, she dark skinned. Like, nah, I wasn't about to say that. I almost wanted to say it, but I wasn't about to put the thought in her head.
Right.
Like, all right, by the way, she dark skinned.
Right,
so what that mean? How you gonna act when you get there?
Right, you don't want to.
You
do
know,
that.
But so we got there and it was some tension in the beginning between the two of them. And I think it was more so, Camille was more so focused, like, it's my birthday. I'm not worried about nobody.
Right.
You know, she was focused.
As she should have been. Right?
Yeah. And then my niece was kind of just, I think she was like filling her out. And as the day progressed, she ain't really bang with Camille like that. She didn't. It was this other little girl there named Jayla. And Jayla was like lighter skinned. Kind of like a little bit lighter than you, and she was vibing with Jayla and a couple of the other light skinned kids, and I peeped that.
So what do you do?
I need to talk to her damn father, cause somebody somewhere along the way something got fucked up.
So what I find most interesting about this is there's like studies that say that children develop into who and how they're gonna be by the time they reach the age of seven.
Seven or eight, exactly.
Seven or eight. Mm-hmm. So this is like a crucial...
It's exactly.
Developmental period right now.
I told
now.
Her, so I said, you know you mix with black, right? I know. But her daddy's light-skinned.
Light-skinned.
You know what I mean? So, hey, it is what it is.
Ooh,
but so, like, self-hate amongst black people is real.
Yeah.
It's real. And it's pretty alarming. Like, I don't even know...
Yeah, when you come up against it.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even know. Like,
and it's subtle too, right?
It's
like
very
you
subtle.
See it, you see the music videos, you see it, you hear it mentioned in
what do you
in
think
all kind of R&B and you know.
What do you think are some of the most like it's to me it's obvious, but what do you think are some of the most apparent like visual ways to kind of identify or assume that there's some kind of low self-esteem or self-hate going on amongst black people? Let's say black women in particular.
What do I like a visual?
Mm-hmm.
Just like an inability to like do certain things. Like you can't go out the house without makeup. You can't go out the house without your hair on or done. You can't. It's just like certain things that you can't be in your natural state
mm-hmm.
in public comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big flag for me. Like why can't you go outside with no makeup on?
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's almost like being afraid of seeing yourself, you know, or having somebody else see you as you are. You know
right.
what I mean? Same thing like with hair. Like people who, oh, my hair's not done. Let me throw in a baseball cap. Or
hold up. I will throw.
No,
on
I
a
mean
baseball
I
cap.
Have on a baseball cap right now.
Right.
But I'm just saying like. New growth came in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be out here with my new growth showing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything just has to be on fleek, like, all the time. Like, that is a concern.
Yeah.
Because
it's at the end of the day, it's just not that serious.
Yeah. Also, people who change colors with a lot of the lightning
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Or like all them transformation videos you'll see like on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah. Or like when people
you
do
don't
their
even
makeup.
Look like yourself.
Right. They do their makeup, but
why
their makeup is lighter than them than themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did you know that there's an epidemic? Like there's a big issue in Jamaica in regards to like skin lightening.
A lot of not only Jamaica, but yeah, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, and some parts of Africa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a
skin lightening.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's sad.
Very.
Love that beautiful black
what
skin.
What about you? Like, what are some...
I mean, the same thing. It's just more like, it's in regards to like physical appearance, like the weaves, the eyelashes, the contacts, the makeup, the butt implants, stuff like
that. I saw my first set of implants recently.
I think you were telling me.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it, y'all. I couldn't believe it.
Okay, it's
like,
okay.
It was so obvious.
And probably gross looking.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
I had never seen it.
Yeah, it probably didn't even cost that much. If it looked bad, it probably was cheap.
She was in there tricking somebody. Somebody was buying her stuff in Nordstrom. But
that's horrible.
Yeah, anyway.
That's horrible.
Yeah, don't do that, y'all. It's not a good look.
Okay.
So
let's look at this.
Yeah.
So let's look at the 10 things that was identified in this article that we came across. I was called 10 Ways Black People Keep Racism Alive. Mm. And I was like, wait, what? What?
Say what now?
Have to say what?
What you say there, what now?
What you talking about, Willis? Come on now. What's 10 it? Ways Black People Keep Racism Alive.
Is it a countdown? We starting at 10 or
it's a countdown.
Okay.
From number 10. And then when you see number 1, you're going to be like, nigga. So look at this, y'all.
Is nigga on there?
Probably not.
Okay.
This was written by a white black person.
Oh.
They can't use the N-word.
He's educated. He's educated.
The first one say they play the victim.
Okay.
Do we play the victim?
Or are we victimized?
Or are we really...
I feel like it
Or do we play the victim or are we responding to a history in which we were victimized? I feel like we were victimized in our history. We are not necessarily...
We are.
Not in the way in regards to like slavery, but we are still
racism has changed
a victim, right? And
but
so like that's why I can't rock with anybody. I can rock with you, but I can't rock with the comment of fucking all lives matter. I will continue to express that on the show.
We remember that.
So it's not about playing the victim. We amongst other races and cultures continue to be victims.
Right.
So
it's not playing
the
victim.
You mean?
Victim. Yeah.
The hell. It says one of the biggest reasons racism exists in this is that black people love playing the victim. Mind you, this was written by a black person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It has been one of the favorite Negro pastimes ever since
Negro.
Africans locked themselves in chains. Locked themselves.
We did it.
In chains. Stowed away.
Is this Negro's name Kanye?
Stowed away on American cruise ships and crossed the Atlantic Ocean. Who the hell?
Is this a farce? Are you kidding me?
It gotta be.
This is not real.
It has to be. But still, the fact of the matter is that it's written and it's posted and it's information that is out there for people to perceive and internalize. So someone...
You know what's going to happen. Some white person's going to look
gonna
this
read this
and
be like...
And use it as a defense. Like,
oh,
see?
Wow. I'm educated now.
And this black
they really
guy...
do play the
black
victim.
Guy said it, so...
This black dude has
it's
to be
true.
Real. Get the F out of here. Number 9. What it say?
Engage in identity politics.
In regards to, like, voting for somebody because he's black and things of that nature.
Yeah.
I told somebody I voted for Obama. This was when I was in grad school. I mean, when I was in grad school, we was talking about Obama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they like, well, you only voted for him because he's black.
You don't know what I voted for.
You don't know why I voted for him. I mean, him being black was a big deal. It
right.
was a big deal.
Of course.
But also the fact that, I mean, he had some shit going for him that
right.
I liked.
I feel like when everybody saw him, black people, white people, whatever, when they saw him, he captivated everybody.
Right.
From the time he did that speech as a senator, people were like, who's this guy? So it's not just because he was black. It's because he was black and he stood for something, was getting shit done.
Right.
He was a change we wanted to see.
Right. My forever president. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so it says when black people vote for black candidates, they're playing right into the hands of identity politics. Yeah, right. So what does that mean for all the white people that voted for Donald Trump?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Does it work the other way around?
Thank you. Come on. Get out of here.
I'm pretty sure.
Number 8. It says, make everything about race. Is it not? I don't see color. F out of here. Your eyes don't work.
Who said they don't see color?
A lot of white people. I don't see color.
That. I hate that phrase.
Are you colorblind?
But saying I
you
don't
should see color.
But saying I don't see color is saying that you don't see me and my culture, my history.
You don't see me for who I am.
Right.
Right.
That's rude.
If you're not seeing color, then you just grouping everybody in the same category.
And it's disrespectful.
Right.
Yeah.
See me. Understand I'm different from you. And it's okay.
Saying you don't see color is a cop-out for you. Because it makes the world easier for you.
Right.
Because then you don't have to be sensitive to the nuances across people. You know what I mean? Right. Oh, I don't see color, so everybody's the same. No, I'm not the same.
I'm not.
So, nigga, do some work.
Nigga, do some work. What's number seven?
Where are we looking? Number seven says, discuss history. Why you always gotta bring history up?
Should we not discuss
history? Why are you living in the past?
Why are you living in the past, though?
Slavery's over.
Right. So it was a long time ago. Abolished.
We're in a post-racial society.
Oh, my goodness.
Get over it.
That's like that you thing. You weren't hit with whips, were you?
That's like that thing when it was like, black people are always talking about, like slavery and racism.
Mm-hmm.
Your ancestor dealt with slavery and racism, but you didn't, so don't worry about it.
Right.
And then the response was like, ancestors, niggas, you mean my grandfather?
Right. You mean my pappy? My papa?
Ancestors makes it seem so long ago. Please don't think racism was that long ago.
Right.
It's literally grandfathers and great grandfathers.
Right. I mean, but according to this article, we're keeping it alive.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's our fault that racism exists.
But I have to say, in regards to history, that is the essence of black culture. Like, our history is what's important. You can't forget your history.
But they want you to.
I know. They want you
because
to forget about
easier.
It. It's easier to just not talk about it.
I was reading something a while ago. This is maybe a couple of years ago. But this mom was livid because she was going through. And you see, this is one thing I'm going to be on top of with my daughter. Is these textbooks.
They're changing.
The textbook that her kid was reading made Thurgood Marshall a white man. Yes. And you know when you're light-skinned like that. But they made Thurgood Marshall a white man in that textbook.
How? What was it?
I don't remember exactly what it said, but the mom was livid. She took it to the court. Well, took it to the school. The school was like, whatever. Then she took it to court, and then they ended up suing the textbook company, and then the textbook company had to reprint the whole book with the correction and then pull all the other ones. This was in Texas.
Oh, my
God. They made Thurgood Marshall a white man.
Y'all getting real.
You gotta pay attention, man.
Y'all getting real.
And read your kids' textbooks, cause you don't know. You don't know what's in there.
And then
calling a slave trade. That was another thing they printed in the textbook.
They referred to slaves as indentured servants.
Indentured, yeah.
As opposed to slaves.
And it wasn't slave trade. It was transcontinental migration, is what they called it. Not a slave trade.
Right.
Yeah.
Our kids gonna grow up dumber and dumber.
Yeah.
Anyway, number six, be a reverse racist.
We already talked about it.
Apparently all of this is reverse racism, yeah. Right? As soon as white people hear us talking about issues like that, they're like, well, you're a reverse racist. Okay, next. Anyway, out of my face. What's number five?
Where they do that? Use facts. I want to write this man a letter.
Listen. Hold on real quick. Shout out.
Use facts.
Okay. Because Mr. Michael Harriet.
Yeah.
You're a fucking idiot. Yeah. Anyway, next. We're talking about number five. It
you
says
have to use facts, not your emotions.
Right. So we shouldn't use facts?
Mm-hmm.
Because last time I checked, facts were good.
Mm-mm.
Facts were good.
Only for the whites.
Right. Mm-hmm. No. No, we keep racism alive by using facts. No, listen. Mm-hmm. Facts is what's going to keep us alive.
Right. Facts is what keeps you from making the same mistakes in the future.
Oh, my God.
How you keep the bad parts of history from repeating itself.
Well, actually, no. Well, it seems that facts don't really... In fact,
In
facts
fact,
don't even matter anymore, because the fact of the matter is that a lot of times these brothers might have not even been doing anything. That's a fact. But then they still got killed. So what's the point? You know, I'm looking at the facts. But,
well,
you know,
it's not a fact, because the fact is we don't know what happened before the video started rolling, right?
That is the fact. Listen, y'all getting...
Go ahead, four.
Mention the words white privilege. Every time I read one, it just makes me laugh.
This has got to be a joke. It's a joke.
But the fact that it was... Like, I really want to reach out to this dude, Michael Harriet.
He got an email up
there. He got some... Yeah, and he had comments. A lot of comments under these. Really messed up stuff about black, like from black people that are like, yeah, like this
totally
is this
right.
is like super
yeah,
on.
I can't believe it.
Like
we
whatever.
Need to share this a million times.
So we shouldn't mention white privilege.
Make
whatever.
It go viral.
You know what I do agree with? Like, so in regards to like white privilege, I have a coworker who is quick to be like colonizer, and she won't like yell it to like a white person, but she'll be like, this damn, so then the colonizer gonna say such and such. And I'll be looking at when she be saying it, I'll be like, that sounds so bad. It does though. It does. Like it's not.
Yeah.
But that person over there is not the colonizer. It's just from a historical perspective. Yes, they colonized in a sense.
Somebody down that lineage.
Yeah.
Though.
One of your ancestors
Amen.
Was a colonizer.
Amen.
Right. And so I just think that that's a little.
I know somebody who
up,
says colonizer too.
I just funny. Think it's. I try not to do it, but white privilege, is real. Anyway,
it's a real
number
thing.
Three.
Don't blame black people.
Now, let's look into this one. It says it is possible to breathe life into racism without even talking to white people. For instance, according to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, combined with U.S. populating estimates, in any given year, 95% of black people don't commit a crime. In black neighborhoods, the number of anti-violence members marches, education initiates, and crime prevention groups.
Initiatives. And crime prevention groups.
Outweigh the number of Black Lives Matter marches.
Yeah.
What are you saying? What is he saying?
He's saying, what you marching for? Why are you marching if violence isn't even in your neighborhood? But that's not true. We're not marching in our neighborhoods, on our neighborhoods. We're marching outside of our neighborhoods to the people that are attacking our neighborhoods.
Then he says, yet black people don't want to talk about black on black crimes.
Well, see, and I knew that was coming. So black on black crime.
So that's what that really came down to.
Yeah, but black on black crime is bullshit because people kill who they live with.
Yeah. And then if you put enough people, don't matter what their race, into a concentrated area where there's limited resources, limited
violence
everything
is going
that you
to
need.
Ensue.
Right, violence is going to
happen. But that's what I'm saying. There's violence in trailer parks. That's white on white.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. But nobody, there's violence in Mexico. That's Mexican on Mexican. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When there are large populations of similar people in desperate situations, violence occurs.
Absolutely.
That's regardless of skin color.
Absolutely. So number two says, what is number two?
Say white people.
White people?
Mm-hmm.
So black people keep racism alive by saying white people.
White people.
Should we start saying Caucasians?
Of the caucus generation?
Because white people are accustomed to being seen as individuals. They hate being referred to as white people. It really chaps their hides.
So you're saying protect their white feelings.
So we need to look out for your little feelings?
Mm-hmm.
And we can't call you white? I mean, you can call me black. I'm cool with that.
You can call me black and everything else under the sun.
I'm okay with being called black.
I can't call you a white man?
But I can't call you white.
Okay. What's number one?
Let's ridiculous.
Get off.
And the number one? The number one, y'all? It's being black.
Stop it.
Black.
Stop it.
Take it off.
You cut it out.
Take your skin off. Take off that melanin now.
Cut that blackness out at this very moment.
So black people continue racism.
Perpetualizing.
Just by being black.
Just by being black. Stop it.
So basically, are you saying that we should no longer...
Mr. Harriet.
Should we just no longer exist? But Mr. Harriet is black. Nigga, if
no, he's not.
He is.
Mm-mm. He's ascended.
No, he might be a Rachel Dolezal. And think that he white. Mm-hmm. But no. Mm-mm. No. So one of the comments that I saw under here, I don't even have to go to it because I remember it. Basically, it was a guy in there. He said, he was like, right? Like, he just gets it. He just gets it. Like, why do we have to continue referring to ourselves as black? Like, why can't we just be American?
You can be both. You can be both.
Why can't we just be American? Nigga, no. Because we're black.
He got a MAGA hat. I know he got one on the shelf. I know he has one on the shelf. That made my head hurt.
That whole little situation just, it made me... it made me upset. And then whether it was trolling, whether it was fake or not, you know, I'm like, hey, it's still information that's out there for the world to consume.
Right.
So, listen, we joke around.
A lot. Right?
I mean, that's what we do on the show. We keep it light. We talk about heavy issues, but we kind of give it a light kind of perspective. But at the end of the day, this shit is big, y'all.
Yeah.
This shit is big.
And it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And so on a serious tip, like, we really have to understand our self-identity. It's a crisis. And we need not be confused about who we are, about where we come from, and about where we're going.
Right.
Regardless of what racism is going on right now, regardless of, like, you know, postmodernism and all these things in our world changing, all these new ideals and everything popping up with these new words every day, like transracial racism, whatever. We got to understand who we are so that we can continue to be our best selves.
Right.
Or we'll just be lost.
And not lose our culture in the future.
We'll be lost.
Right.
And we'll have no self-identity.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I guess my serious tip is... hold on to who you are and instill it in the younger generation, right? So,
right.
Like, there's little things that you can do. Like you said, like, trying to get your niece back on track.
Right.
Or, you know, like, me, like, I twist my hair, I twist my daughter's hair. I want her to look at me and say, oh, I'm pretty because my mom's pretty. Her hair is like my hair. You know what I mean? Today I was leaving the house and I put on a baseball cap and I was going to put my daughter's hat on, her little wool hat, and she said, no, mommy. So she now has on one of my other baseball caps because she wanted to have her hair in twist with a baseball cap, like I have my hair in twist
good.
In a baseball cap. So it's little things like that that perpetuate the beauty of being black, the beauty of being yourself and being bold in who you are.
Right.
So I think it's important to hone those things and to, like, grow them and develop them. So, you know, by the time these kids are 13, 14, 16, they ain't sitting on Dr. Phil calling their own people gorillas.
Right.
So, you know, you just gotta, like the good book says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And that's not just a spiritual thing, that's a cultural thing, that's behavioral. It's so many things. So,
right. We got to get away from talking down about each other, y'all.
Yeah.
So that leads us into a quick little poetry section. Segment. So I'm going to read this poem that I wrote.
What's going on here?
It's called Niggas Ain't Shit.
Because
you know niggas ain't shit.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Dang.
That's what people say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. That's word on the street.
Let's get into it. As underdeveloped, oblivious, naive is, are subjected to the bullshit portrayed by overdeveloped, oblivious, naive older sisters, one can easily comprehend the extent to which perpetual ignorance is passed down from generation to generation. Phone slam, she screams, niggas ain't shit. And before those four false syllables could permeate heavily through polluted airs of her city, they fall upon those same underdeveloped, oblivious, naive ears of her younger sister. From another mister, who had a master, who had a great, great, great grandmother, who had a master that taught her that disrespecting and downplaying and degrading our black brothers will forever be a part of our existence. That no efforts of theirs will ever be sufficient, but the fact of the matter is that nowadays a lot of brothers are quite proficient, so excuse my persistence while I use my verbal equipment to drive home the fact that back in the day, niggas weren't shit to the masters.
So nowadays, niggas ain't shit to the masses. Historically bound and broken down in front of black families to prove a point that the black family was created to be a disaster. Over-exaggerated chronological stories of black American dads causing families to deteriorate faster. And so now you say niggas ain't shit? What you mean you could have been his queen together, ready and heavily armed to use your conjoint black power to go blast the right into the face of the deceived? For your message to be received by attentive, underdeveloped, oblivious, naive ears, awaiting guidance and sitting in silence, awaiting information ready to act upon, presented to them as evidence. But see, your experiences are not relevant. And unfortunately, they are becoming more and more prevalent. See, because y'all broken bitches got the emotional brothers now intentionally dumbing themselves down, fearful of showing too much sentiment. So to you, your man can never vent. Because you're too busy putting him down in front of others like heavy weights and overcrowded gyms repetitiously being used to your benefit. See, those four false syllables simultaneously tighten the psychological constraints on our mentality while causing future generations to become accustomed to good brother brutality. So please learn to avoid comments of that totality. If all niggas ain't shit, then what is your brother? Now groomed to think and aspire to be like other, preparing for war in the battle with no victor, fighting for his life to be a positive picture. If all niggas ain't shit, girl, get a clue. Because if that is the case, then what the hell are you? Just another nigga. That's that piece. That's that piece.
That was nice.
But that's true.
That's true.
You hear what I say in the middle? Yeah. Back in the day, niggas wasn't shit to the masters, so nowadays they ain't shit to the masses.
I caught that. That
Did you
was,
catch that?
That was a
shit is real out
that's
here.
A golden line right there. Shit. I like that. That was deep. You dropping bars. Gems. You shit. Dropping bars.
Bars.
Pick,
dropping
the, these pick bo- that up.
Pick them bars
pick
up,
that
girl.
Gym up.
Drop them bars.
What?
Anyway, listen, black is beautiful, y'all. We gonna play this song by this woman. Her name is Mayada. Mm. And we came across her her music, and we was like, oh, we would like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go ahead and just rock out with that one. So we want to shout out to Mayada, and thank you for making this really beautiful song. Mm-hmm. And celebrating blackness.
It's needed.
It is needed.
So here we go.
My mama used to tell me to love the skin I'm in. I didn't always understand her. I didn't always listen, but now I know better. Now I know better. I didn't like my curls that grew up to the sun because I wanted to fit in and look like everyone else around me. Until I found me. Ebony chocolate or cafe au lait. Our skin is gorgeous, no matter what they say. So block out the noise, hear the voice of God who made us well. As he whispers to you, let it break through. And know your black is beautiful. It's beautiful. This world holds so much danger for people with this skin, cause people stay trying to put out the light we have within, but we can't let them. No, we can't let them. See Rosa, Martin, Malcolm all did what they could. We gotta rise up, fight back, stand where they stood, cause it's our duty. Proclaim our beauty. Ebony chocolate or cafe au lait. Our skin is gorgeous, no matter what they say. So block out the noise, hear the voice of God who made us well. As he whispers to you, let it break through. And know your black is beautiful. We are Maya's brilliance, Nelson's resilience. And with Harriet's strength we move. We are Ruby's daring, with voices worth sharing. Like Billy and Mahalia. So sing it loud, sing it proud. Oh, 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 oh. Ebony chocolate or cafe au lait. Our skin skin is gorgeous, no matter what they say. So block out the noise, hear the voice of God who made us well. As he whispers to you, let it break through and know your black is beautiful. Oh, oh, it's beautiful, oh, oh, so beautiful, oh, 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 oh. We're beautiful, and know your black is beautiful.
Yeah, so your black is beautiful, y'all. Just a little positive uplifting. If you ever feel yourself waning in your blackness,
just check out Miata.
Yeah.
She's going to remind you.
It's a beautiful song. She has a really nice voice, too.
You know who else was beautiful?
Who?
Who else is beautiful?
Who?
Omari Hardaway was.
Oh, listen.
Beautiful.
I already told y'all once.
He was beautiful.
Lord Jesus. I told y'all once.
He was beautiful and Nobody's Fool. Yeah. That was a good movie.
I've just been enjoying seeing him in all the promo places.
You can put Omari Hardwick in every movie that I watch for the rest of my life.
And I would have no problem.
Right.
Yeah. It's just that.
Beautiful specimen.
Beautiful sight for sore eyes. I love you, honey. Anyway.
but the movie, I mean, outside of Omari, the movie was good. I thought the movie was good. I didn't think it was great. I talked to somebody and said they thought it was horrible. And I was like, no, I don't think it was horrible.
I mean, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's not like going to be a life-changing film.
Yeah, it's just it's entertainment. You know? I think they did a good job.
Exactly.
And I'm just really proud of Tiffany for being so diligent and keeping it, keeping it on the up and up.
Keeping it 100.
Shoot. She about to make it. She about to be in a movie with a white man. As a white man being her husband.
According to
Mr. Michael Harriet.
I know.
You know.
She's
made it now.
she's good.
Made it.
Exactly.
You know, she on a big screen with a white man as her husband?
What more does a...
What more do you need?
Exactly.
Can I get a black man?
No. Because he has to stop being black, according to Mr. Harriet.
Oh, right. That's right. Anyway.
You guys have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you again for rocking with us. Be safe if you're traveling. Don't eat too much. And just go ahead and right now start thinking about your post-holiday diet plan, because we all going to be on one.
Right. But make sure you drink your water and go to the gym.
Yep. Kiss your mama.
And I'm going to let y'all know about them chitlins next week.
Yeah. Dum, dum, dum. See y'all later.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Say what? Don't bring me far, so Latino. 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 What the hell are you saying, though? The sock of my Tito. The sock of my Tito.
That's the Asian version.
We warmed up now.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Lady Code.
Be sure to like, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Also, make sure to follow us on all things social media at TheLadyCove_podcast.
And don't forget to send your questions and comments to TheLadyCove@gmail.com.
Peace.
You were in the room.
Oh, you didn't know it was recording?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was recording either. She's sneaky because I didn't know it was recording until I just saw it.
I just thought the conversation was interesting. We're not going to use all of it, but it'll be fun for bloopers later.